Good day, and welcome to the UTI Asset Management Company Limited Q1 FY24 Earnings Conference Call. From the management, we have with us Mr. Imtiazur Rahman, CEO and Managing Director, Mr. Surojit Saha, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Vinay Lakhotia, Head Operations, and Mr. Sandeep Shamsi, Head Investor Relations and Corporate Communications. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. Before we begin, I would like to mention that some of the statements made in today's discussion may be forward-looking in nature and may involve risks and uncertainties. Please note, the disclaimer mentioning these risks and uncertainties are on the disclaimer slide of the investor presentation that has been shared earlier. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Imtiazur Rahman for opening remarks. Over to you, sir.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining us today to discuss our operational and financial performance for the first quarter of financial year 23-24. I am confident you must have gone through our press release and investor presentation available on our website as well as the website of the All Stock Exchanges. The quarter witnessed optimism across the global markets with the forecast improving for the current year 2023. The Indian economy, which essentially became the fifth largest economy in the world, surpassing United Kingdom, has been receiving recognition globally for its growth and resilience. Friends, the Indian capital market, we are a direct beneficiary of the growth story of our economy. The benchmark indices were driven by the active participation of the domestic as well as foreign institutional investors and the matching enthusiasm of the retail investors. This was evident in the increase in number of Demat accounts in the country, hitting a 13-month high in June 2023 at 12.05 crore, of which 23.6 lakh crore were added in the month of June itself. The Indian mutual fund industry has grown over twice its size in the last 5 years, from 22.86 lakh crore in June 2018 to 44.39 lakh crore in June 2023. The AUM to GDP ratio for India, though comparatively less as compared to the developed economies, has reached 16% to the GDP and is well on the path of growing further. It clearly indicates that Indian mutual fund industry is on the growth trajectory. Investor awareness program, including the mutual fund Sahi Hai campaign, ease of access to technology, used for investing, economic growth, rising household savings, and broader geographical reach of the mutual fund products, and the positive driver for the development of the sector in the coming decade. Friends, the total asset under management of UTI Group registered a growth of about 16.8% over the corresponding quarter of the previous year and stood at rupees 16.13 lakh crore as on 30th June 2023. The domestic mutual fund business witnessed a growth of 10.6% on year-on-year basis, with the quarterly average AUM as of 30th June 2023 was recorded at 2.48 lakh crore. We have reorganized our sales team structure further and deepening our reach in the beyond 30 cities to leverage on the opportunities present in these markets. In line with this, we have planned to open 29 new offices and 6 resident offices during the fiscal year 23-24. This quarter, UTI has launched 5 funds, including the UTI S&P BSE Housing Index Fund, taking into account the fundamental need for Indians to live in better homes. We have also launched the UTI Nifty 50 Equal Weighted Index Fund to provide an exposure to the Nifty 50 companies with equal weight. We have also launched UTI Silver ETF, UTI Silver ETF FOF, and UTI Nifty 500 Value Index Fund during this quarter. We will continue to launch a new thematic fund as and when the right opportunity arises. I would like to inform you that Mr. Sri Vastra Desikamani, with his knowledge and expertise in asset management area, has joined the board of UTI AMC as a non-executive nominee director in the June 2023, and yesterday at the AGM his appointment was confirmed. Friends, we are fully committed to grow all our line of business, including alternatives, pensions and offshore funds. In this direction, we are foraying into European market with European market through Paris office as well as in United States. I would like to inform you that I have with me Mr. Surajit Saha, the CFO of UTIMC, Mr. Vinay Lakotia, Head of Operation and CFO Designate, along with Mr. Sandeep Samsi. Now I hand over to Mr. Sandeep Samsi, Head of Investor Relations and Marketing, who will update you with UTI Mutual Fund performance for the quarter. Over to you, Sandeep. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. I will first take you through UTI Mutual Fund's performance during the first quarter and for the full year ended FY24. I am pleased to inform you that the total assets under management for UTI Group registered a growth of about 16.8% over the corresponding quarter of previous year and stood at rupees 16.13 lakh crore as on 30th June 2023. For UTI Mutual Fund, the quarterly average AUM as on 30th June 2023 stood at rupees 2.48 lakh crore, up by 10.6% year on year. Our equity quarterly average AUM for the quarter ended June 23 stood at rupees 72,811 crore, rising by approximately 9.2% as compared to the quarter ended June 2022. With passive investment gaining traction, we have witnessed a growth of 35.6% in the quarterly average AUM for the index and ETF, taking it to rupees 88,431 crore for the first quarter. UTI was able to capture market share of 8.1% of the gross sales of the industry during the first quarter. UTI Mutual Fund recorded a net sales of rupees 10,152 crores for quarter one of FY24. ETFs and index fund net flows stood at rupees 3,496 crores. UTI added 1.3 lakh folios, taking up the number of live folios to 1.21 crores as on 30th June 2023. From 1.20 crore as on 30th June 2022. Our SIP AUM witnessed a growth of 40.1% over the corresponding quarter of last year, reaching to rupees 24,920 crore as of June 2023 from rupees 17,788 crore as of June 2022. During the quarter, our number of SIP accounts rose by 20,000, taking the number of live SIP folios to 25.16 lakh as of June 2023. The SIP inflows for the quarter stood at rupees 1,652 crores. The SIP gross inflows for UTI Mutual Fund witnessed a year-on-year growth of 6.6%, with the average ticket size being rupees 3,142 for the month of June 2023. Coming to the contribution from B30 cities, 22% of our monthly average AUM for June 2023 came from B30 cities, while the industry average stood at 17% in terms of the B30 monthly average AUM. 108 out of our 166 UFCs are in the B30 location. Now I come to UTI AMC's financials. During the first quarter, the company posted a consolidated net profit of rupees 234 crore, recording a growth of 172% quarter on quarter and 154% year on year. The consolidated revenue for the first quarter stood at rupees 468 crore, up by 56% quarter on quarter and 60% year on year. For UTI AMC standalone, The PAT of UK AMC standalone for quarter one of FY24 is rupees 165 crores, reflecting a growth of 68% quarter on quarter and a 67% growth on a year on year basis. For UTI Retirement Solutions Limited, we are happy to inform you that our 100% owned subsidiary UTI Retirement Solutions has recorded a growth of approximately 27% year on year in its AUM, reaching rupees 2.58 lakh crores in quarter one of FY24 and manages 26.57% of the industry's AUM. The PAT of UTI RSL is at rupees 12.5 crores, an increase of 17% compared to the corresponding quarter last year. On UTI International Limited, which represents our international business interest, has an AUM of rupees 21,772 crores as of 30th June 2023. Our international clients are across more than 35 countries, and they are primarily institutions, pensions, insurance, banks, and asset managers. One of our flagship funds, the India Dynamic Equity Fund, IDEF, which is domiciled in Ireland, has an AUM of US$973 million. UTI International J. Sapra Sarasin Responsible India Fund, which is an ESG-compliant India fund, has an AUM of US$82 million. UTI India Innovation Fund, which was launched last year, has an AUM of US$22.4 million. On UTI Alternatives Private Limited, UTI Alternatives Private Limited has recently been renamed from the former name of UTI Capital Private Limited and has a total AUM of rupees 1,784 crores. It has a well-defined ESG policy and strategy. It currently manages the following active debt fund: UTI Structured Debt Opportunities Fund, which is known as UTI SDOF 1, which was launched in 2017 August and closed in May 2019, and has an AUM of rupees 132 crores. Currently, the fund is in exit mode and has returned 1.1 times of the capital invested. UTI SDOF 2, which was launched in September 2020, has an AUM of rupees 507 crores, and the fund is currently in fundraising as well as investing stage. UTI Multi Opportunities Fund 1, which was launched in March 2022, has an AUM of rupees 763 crores and the fund is currently in investing stage. UK SDOF 3, which was launched in September 2022, has an AUM of rupees 383 crores and the fund is currently in fundraising as well as investing stage. We have also launched the UK Real Estate Opportunities Fund 1, which is currently in fundraising stage with pre-commitments of 110 crores. I would now request the Managing Director and CEO for his concluding remarks. Thank you.
Thank you, Sandeep, for sharing operational financial highlights for the first quarter of the financial 23-24. With this, I would like to open the forum for Q&A. Over to you. Thank you.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Madhukar Ladha from Nuvama Wealth Management. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good afternoon. And thank you for taking my question. On equity assets, our growth continues to be subpar. So if I look at year-over-year quarterly average AUM growth, that's just about 1.7%. Why is this struggling? I think some of the competition is doing much better and they're losing market share. So some color on that will be helpful. Second, our other expenses have shot up in this quarter on a year-over-year basis. I know that there is some expectation for increase in expenses in this year. Could you give us some sense of, you know, what the full-year number could be and whether there is any change in our guidance over there? And third, sir, your other income has also shot up this quarter. So I wanted to get a sense of what the drivers are over there. Yeah, these are my three questions. Thank you, sir.
Sandeep?
Yes. Thank you, Madhukar, for your question. As we have been mentioning in our previous quarterly calls also, we have been facing some headwinds in the performance of our flagship equity fund. It is important to mention here that, you know, historically this fund has performed very well and has seen very good traction from our distribution partners. As the growth strategy followed by this fund has not done well over the last one and a half years, we have faced challenges on the sales front on this fund. However, we are optimistic that once the fund sees, you know, improvement in the traction with the revival of performance, we should be able to do better. So the challenge has been on the, you know, on the growth strategy that the fund was following. And we hope that, you know, going forward, there will be improvement.
Madhukar, we are taking this particular issue very seriously. We are continuously reviewing our both sales strategy, our even the investment strategy, and I'm quite confident this particular fund, which is having some challenges, is being managed by a very reputed and experienced fund manager, Ajay Tyagi, and therefore I'm fully confident that it will turn out. However, our other some other strategies in the equity schemes are doing well, and I'm sure this will add a values to our investors. Now I will request Surajit to take care of the other two questions of yours. Yeah.
Yeah. Madhukar, in respect of other expenses, if you see on a quarter on quarter, it has come down. From quarter on quarter of from 72 crore, it has come down to 61 crore. But on a year-on-year basis, it has gone up from 49 crore to 61 crore. The reason of the increase mainly because of the IT initiatives, which is around 4.5 crore, for which there will be a benefit will be across the financial year. And also in respect of the CSR and some legal and strategic expenses. But what you should consider is that you are asking about the run rate. It should be around 60 to 61 crore per quarter. And the other question was in respect of
other income.
I don't know, other income has been flat, but where you are seeing other income, there is a jump? Because if you go year on year, it has come down from 13, if you see the investor presentation, 13 was because of the foreign exchange gains, and this year it's very flat.
So I have I mean the treasury income, right? There is some mark-to-market.
Yeah, mark-to-market, it has gone up substantially.
Yeah, that's what I mean. By other income, I mean that. Yeah.
No, it has got substantially because, you know, one is because of the international business, we have a seed capital, because of which last quarter also the M2M was at a negative. So that itself has gone up from 269 crore to 301 crore on an NAV basis. So overall, our M2M gain is 174 crore, and which I think we have given it in the investor presentation also, the details.
All right, that's it from my side. Thank you, sir, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Prayesh Jain from Motilal Oswal Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Hi, just a couple of questions. Firstly, on the equity net inflows, if you look, we have a negative number this quarter. So are the redemptions kind of picking up, and is there, apart from the fund performance issue that you cited about the equity market share, is there a pickup in terms of redemptions because of the high market levels that we are seeing? That is question number one. Secondly, even with regards to the SIP monthly run rate, there is in flattish to, you know, the flattish trajectory, rather than for the industry, it has been trending at a significantly higher level. There has been month-on-month growth, but, you know, we have not seen that kind of replicated for us. So what are the issues that we are facing there, and how do we plan to kind of resurrect our market share there?
Yeah, so Prayesh, as I mentioned earlier, that one of the flagship funds where the maximum SIPs were also coming was impacted due to the fund's performance issues. Also, you know, over a period of time, people who have invested, say 5 years, 10 years back, looking at the market values, they will be redeeming their amount because they will consider whatever goals they might have set, there will be some natural redemption. And generally, if you see in the month of April, the SIP numbers come down for the industry also and for us, because people end their SIPs in March and new SIPs get started in the month of April, May. So these are the two factors. As I mentioned, fund performance impacting our inflows. Secondly, natural redemptions, which will happen because of the market levels at currently which they are. And SIPs which get renewed. And if you see again in the month of May, June, our SIP numbers have come back to the earlier one, because April there was a dip, but May, June have been better.
And your question was, because of the market is on a upside mode, north side, do we expect a more redemptions? And answer is no. We are not expecting the accelerated redemptions because of the market is the highest.
Great. And just one more question on the alternate side. What are our thoughts about the growing the alternate assets in terms of our future, and what kind of profitability or revenue contribution we can expect from the alternate business?
Yeah. See, UTI Alternatives Private Limited, this is a new name. Formerly, which was name was UTI Capital Private Limited. Has certain plans. Like UTI Alternatives aims to be a multi-asset manager of alternate assets. Currently, UTI Alternatives are managing high-yield performing credit funds and a multi-asset fund. And it has already launched a real estate credit fund this month. It has filed with SEBI two new funds, an investment-grade performing credit and a distressed credit fund. Once the strategies are launched, UTI Alternatives will be present across the entire spectrum of credit alternatives. And UK Alternatives is also in the process of evaluating and finalizing the equity strategies. So this financial year, we hope to break even, and maybe from next year, it will be a profitable subsidiary for us.
Great. And we are building this particular business. We have built a very strong team, and we will continue to invest in this particular business. We are also planning to have an office in the GIFT City, and this is the business where we have fully capitalized the company. We have allocated the good resources for this particular company, financial resources as well, and we will continue to invest in this line of business. That will give us a significant growth in the years to come.
Great. Thank you so much. All the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Lalit Dev from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. So, sir, just two questions. So, firstly, like as you have alluded, that due to fund performances, like our flows are getting impacted. So, are we seeing any kind of a pressure from the distributor side also, where our funds are going in the like the bottom list of their recommended list? Are we seeing anything as of now? And if yes, like what are the possible measures which we are taking? So that was like the first question.
Seeing any pressure from the distributor, our products are on the platform for all distributors in the bank. And as you know, we are now live with our new NFO, UTI Balance Advantage Fund, and all distributors, all MFDs and national distributors, including banks, are distributing our products. So we have no challenges so far as distributor is concerned. And it's a temporary fund issues, headwind. We are quite confident, and that's some of the schemes are doing pretty well. And therefore, we are quite confident this particular phase will also pass. And but there's no pressure from the distributor side at all.
Sure, sir. Thanks. And so, like, the second question was on the employee expenses side. So, like, this quarter, it has remained broadly flat. So, going ahead, do we expect a similar kind of a number on a run rate basis, or like, do we expect some improvement over there?
No, I feel the expenses run rate is, if you see the Q4 23 and Q1 24, it's almost flat at 106. And we feel this will be the run rate for this financial year.
Awesome. Yes, that's
thank you. The next question is from the line of Aditya from Securities Investment Management Company. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So if you could help us understand the reason for sequential improvement in yields in the domestic mutual fund business, considering the addition of new flows which have lower margins and the equity mix also remaining flat sequentially. So what is the reason for the improvement in yields on a QOQ basis?
So it's primarily because of the AUM has grown up because of the mark-to-market appreciation. But if you see the equity yields actually flattish at around 35 basis point only. There has been just 1 basis point improvement in the equity yield because of the mark-to-market component. Otherwise, it is flattish on a quarter-on-quarter basis on a sequential one.
So according to my calculation, the yields have seen an increase of around 1 to 1.5 basis points. But the equity mix has remained same around 45.5%. So, and the new mix which would have come in this quarter would have lower margins than the old book. So there should have been some moderation in the yields on a QOQ basis.
So I am seeing on the overall book AUM yield, that has actually only improved marginally by 1 basis point from 72 to 73 on the equity side.
Okay. And sir, there has been a sharp drop in yield in the UTI International sequentially. So have you taken any price cuts over there to arrest the drop in flows which we are seeing in the earlier quarters?
Yeah, basically it's a drop in flow, but if you see overall one or two funds have matured like this Phoenix fund and all, but there has been a good flow in UTI Dynamic Equity Fund for the last 3 months, from 31,323, the AUM was around 7,000 crore. It has increased to 7,900 crore. Around there was an inflow of 976 crore. So overall, if you see, our revenue is in the range of 31 to 32 crore. So overall, our revenue has not come down. But yes, we expect UTI Dynamic Equity Fund to claw back to their original around 10,000 crore fund. And there's a lot of traction in the market. So we hope our revenues will definitely increase in UTI International.
No, so just to rephrase my question. So if we look at the AUM of UTI International, in March 23, it was 21,700 crores. And
yes,
the same is 21,720 crores. So AUM is flat on a QOQ basis. But if I look at the revenue, it has seen a drop from 31 crores to 29 crores. It means that there is a drop in yield. Also, just wanted to understand if you have taken any price cuts over there, because we were seeing a loss of flows in this subsidiary. So just wanted to understand, have you taken any price cuts to arrest this drop in flows?
No, there is no price cut, but UTI India Sovereign Bond, UCITS, UTI India Strategic Opportunities Fund, UTI India Strategic Opportunities Fund 2, these are all funds have been launched where the fees received is much less compared to the equity fund. So that is why you are seeing a drop in the yield. But maybe over the years with the UTI Dynamic Equity Fund and other equity fund, we are seeing a lot of traction. If the money comes, the yield will be much better.
Got it. And sir, the employee count has seen an increase by around 110 sequentially. So firstly, why there is such an increase when the employee count was expected to moderate due to retirement of employees? And will this increase in employees lead to higher employee costs going forward?
No, employee cost has not...
So employee number, first of all.
Number.
He's asking number. What is the number?
So it has increased from 1377 last quarter to 1491 in this quarter.
We have appointed, we have recruited 108 management trainees that we do every year the process, because there is a lot of attrition and the retirement coming up. And therefore, that is the reason we have appointed 108 new management trainees. As I mentioned to you in my, my initial remarks, we have a plan to office 29 new UFCs, branch offices, and as well as 6 resident offices. In order to be ready, we need to hire the people to serve our branch offices, and therefore we have appointed, I repeat, 108 new management trainees to be future ready. But that is a low cost, and it will not affect at all
our increase in any employee cost. Because over the year, we will see the serious retirements this year, and that will we will be able to compensate this cost or offset this cost with the retirement cost, a benefit.
Okay, and what was the ESOP cost for this quarter, and what would be the ESOP cost for the remaining quarters?
Yeah, for 23-24, the total ESOP cost is around 16 crore, and 22-23, it was around 20.77 crore.
This quarter was 4 crore, was it?
Yeah.
4 crore is the ESOP cost. This quarter, it will continue, unless we decide to issue the fresh ESOP.
Got it. And sir, if you could break up our employee cost in terms of variable or performance fee, which we give to our employees, and the fixed pay.
We have taken the 45 crores yearly variable pay. Rest is all the fixed pay. So for accordingly, it will be a proportion, to the extent of 11.25 crore for this particular quarter. Balance is, so for the full year, we have considered 45 crore. Depending upon the performance, we will decide at the year end. But this is our guidance. 45 crore is a variable pay. Rest is a fixed pay.
And what was the variable pay for last year?
Last year was similar. 45 crore.
55 crores. Okay, so we are seeing a reduction in the variable cost.
45.
Last year was also 45 crores.
45, yes. Answer is yes.
45 crore is on standalone basis, what sir is telling. Like. Yes. And if you take the subsidiaries, it was around 58 crore. Altogether as a group.
On console basis, or 58 crore. This year, we have similar amount on the console basis and as well as on the standalone basis.
Okay, so the variable pay is going to be similar for last year and this year as well.
That's correct.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dipanjan Ghosh from Citi. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. A few questions from my side. First you mentioned that you expect the other expense run rate to remain flattish at around 60 to 61 crores. Now, on the other side, you also mentioned that you're going to open up some new branches, expand to B30. You plan to also grow the UTI international business, and you have some planned NFOs, one of which is already going on. So on this backdrop, what gives you confidence to retain the other expense run rate at current levels? Because I would assume that NFO spends and all are not factored in 1Q, other expense number. My second question is, I think, repetition of what was asked earlier in the call on the yields part. You mentioned that your equity yields have increased by 1 bps to 73 from 72. Now, my question is, whenever there's a mark-to-market jump, normally because of the slab-wise pricing, one should see some amount of compression in yields and not expansion. So is there any mix change within schemes or something in the churn where maybe some high payout portfolio exited? Or what really is going on there? Just wanted to get some color on that. Lastly, one data keeping question, if you can give the gross equity sales number for the quarter.
So first question I will take regarding the other expenses. FY22-23, if you see, the overall expenses was around 238 crore, 238-240 crore, so which has a run rate of around 60 crore last year also. And if you remember, in the last quarter, we had some strategic annual meet for which there was expenses, because of which, if you see the Q4, other expenses on a very higher side. And we have factored the other, this 29 office opening cost and all, we have factored, and we expect it to be in the range of 60 to 61 crore run rate.
Vinay, on yield?
So on the yield part, because of the mark-to-market component, the older AUM share to the overall fees number have actually increased. While they have been, the net sales number has been negative for the equity fund for this quarter. Because of that, there is not much compression on the equity yield because of the fresh inflow. So because of the mark-to-market component, the older AUM has contributed a slightly higher fees, and that's why it marginally improved by around 1 basis point.
Just one follow-up on this. Can you kind of quantify the difference between your fresh equity yields versus blended equity yields on the book, or give some color on what is the differential today?
As of now, the stock AUM is yield on the overall equity and hybrid put together is around 76-77 basis points. For the fresh inflows, it's the ratios are defined depending on our arrangement with the distributor. And as I stated earlier, it varies from 50% to 80% of our distributable expense ratio. So can't define a straight number on that. It depends on our channel mix. If the money is coming from an individual financial advisor or is coming from a distributor or from a private or a foreign bank. So but the ratio of the, between the manufacturer and the distributor is roughly in the range of around 50% to 80%.
And if you can just quantify the gross equity sales for the quarter.
Okay, gross equity sales number, just a minute. Equity and hybrid put together is close to around 2,344 crore.
Sure. So if I can just chip in one small question, you give your AUM mix breakup across channels on the equity and hybrid business. Can you give some color of that on a flow basis and maybe just give a trajectory of how it has been shaping, let's say, for the past 3-4 quarters on a flow basis rather than on a stock basis?
Yeah. Dipanjan, we don't have that data. The data on the AUM is shared, but we don't have that data, so maybe offline we can take this question.
Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aman Shah from Jite Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. So a few questions from my side. One is the yield has stabilized in Q1. What will be our outlook for this year for the yield part, aggregate yields?
So aggregate yield might see a slight compression of a basis point or two, primarily because of two factors, because of the growth in the ETF business, plus we have launched a new NFO as well, which is going on UTI Balance Advantage Fund, and obviously the new fresh inflows under the equity fund will have some impact on the overall equity AUM yield. So on a for the next 2 or 3 quarters, there might be a compression of a basis point or two on the overall equity, on the overall yield number.
Okay. And what would be the share of older AUM now?
It's older AUM, we have indicated earlier, is close to around 20% of the AUM still in the, on the older AUM. But again, very difficult to quantify in terms of that because there is a substantial AUM where the trail commission is very low. 20% I am saying is where the trail commission is quite negligible. But since there earlier upfront commission was being prevalent, if I say anything AUM which is more than 5 years old, it's very difficult to quantify. But AUM where the trail commission is low or very negligible, that is close to around 20%.
Okay. So on the international side, we have seen there have been investment expenditures in this year. Q1 was 31 crores total expenditure compared to 17 crore last year. So, like top line being at 29 crores, so there is an operational loss. How should we see the P&L of UTI International look like?
The international expenses are in the range of around 30 crores. The figure which you said, 70 crores, 17 crores, that was because there was a foreign exchange gain was there. And as for the international books, it was accounted over there. That's why there was an 11 crore gain. That's why that figure was 17. Otherwise, generally, the expenses of per quarter of UT International is in the range of 29 to 30 crore.
But this company at the year end will be profitable. In this quarter itself, the Q2, it will be profitable. The initial cost was there because in the first we signed a lot of new agreements and we paid a lot of legal fees. So therefore, it was a marginal loss was there. But on next quarter, it will be profitable. Overall, it will be a profitable company.
Okay. How should we see, like, top line, you said, like, it should be 32 to 34 crore quarterly.
I'll just give you UT International has plans to grow the distribution for the innovation fund, which was concentrated portfolio of the mid-cap, small-cap, disruptive business. Innovation fund is about finding the companies leveraging on technology across sectors. And we will distribute this in Europe and Asia to start with. And we also have plans to expand the reach for the India GSEC ETF, which is listed in the Euronext Amsterdam, by reaching out to the European institutional investors. And the decline in the China's weight in AMSPI emerging market index has opened up many South Asian markets for increasing the Indian exposure through our flagship IDEF fund. From a long-term perspective, many clients are wanting to go overweight on India versus its weight in MSCI. Given the current geopolitics, India is finding a lot of favor with the global long-only investors. Our IDEF fund will capitalize on this given its long-term orientation. In the Middle East, distribution of our balanced fund remains robust among the NRI community. Balanced fund as a concept is popular with the Indian expats, and we are promoting this fund in the Middle East. So we are expecting a lot of traction in the UT international business. And as sir said, this is on a growing path, and we'll have a profitable quarters in the following period.
Okay. Sure. So last is just the cash that we have on books now, 3,500 crore and lakh. A good part is also there in the standalone. The major part is in standalone balance sheet. What is our outlook on cash distributions?
We have seriously looking into the cash element, but we have no plan at this particular point of time to distribute the cash. We may need it for our future business development.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mohit from BOB Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. My first question is that if I look at district associates, you know, it has declined from 210 last quarter to 188. What could be the reasons for that?
See, we look at the partners that we have, the district associates across the country, and we keep on renewing and, you know, working with them on a year-on-year basis. So some of the agreements which, you know, people retire over a period of time, and those have not been renewed. So that's why you are seeing a dip in the number of district associates on a year-on-year basis. Our endeavor is to appoint new district associates wherever we find that there is potential at a district level or at the block level so that they can further utilize business interest.
And wherever we feel appropriate, we are substituting with our branch officers, which we call UK Financial Center.
Right, understood. Now, coming again to the net flows, you know, you said that performance was an issue which led to outflows. But if I look at last two quarters, there was a net outflow. Like this quarter, it was 15 billion and earlier quarter, 7 billion. So are we confident that in financial year 24, we would be able to turn this outflows into net inflows like we have seen that for peers as well? They are getting substantial equity flows. So are we confident that we'll be having a good performance this year?
We are working with all channel partners. We are very aggressively marketing and distributing our product. We are quite confident that our net sales will be, well, we will put all our best efforts to ensure that our net sales is positive in the equity.
Right. Okay. Thanks, and wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Bhuvnesh Garg from Investec Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Sir, you mentioned earlier that your market share in SIP declined because of most of your SIPs were in flagship fund. So in that regard, I just want to understand that any specific plan you have to diversify your AUM across the funds or to increase the base of your SIPs so that it is not dependent on one fund or something.
So as Mr. Rehman also mentioned, that we have a number of other funds which are doing quite well, and we are positioning these funds to our distribution partners as well as to banks and other distributors to take the fund flows forward. So we are quite confident, as Mr. Rehman also mentioned just in the previous question, that this should help us to revive our SIP sales in these funds.
But the current fund itself, Flexi Fund itself, is the right opportunity for the investors to invest now to capture the market and the benefit which may come once the scheme starts
right, performing better.
Got it. Got it. Answer on inflows, any particular target we have in our mind for the year, or any particular target we have for our alternate business? What kind of inflows we are targeting for the year?
Alternate business.
Yeah, if you see the AUM is already in a rising trend, and we have lines in plan which I have already told in my last speech. Like, it has already launched a real estate credit fund this month, and it has filed two SEBI, two new funds, an investment great performing credit and a distressed credit fund. And so UTI Alternatives is now present almost entire spectrum of credit alternatives, and they are also in the process of evaluating and finalizing the equity strategies. So the business is doing very well, and we have built up the team also. So we expect maybe in the range of 2,500 to 3,000 moving in the future period.
Got it. That's it from my side. Thank you, and all the best.
Thank you.
We have the next question from the line of Rahil Shah from Crown Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good evening. Just on the overall consolidated basis, the AUM growth and margins, if you could share some outlook for the year, that would be great. Thank you.
Yeah, overall, I think... overall, if you see our investments, group AUM has grown from 16.13 lakh crore, and vis-a-vis year-on-year, it was 13.81 lakh crore. And on 31/3/23, it was 15.55 lakh crore. So it's a rising trend of around 4%. So there is a continuous effort in all the sectors of our business, whether it's UTI retirement, whether it's UTI alternative fund, or that is UTI international PMS. So we are driving our business. Our AUM has been continuously improving in all the spectrum of our business.
And on the margin side, sir?
Yeah, overall margins will continuously increase because it also depends on the mix which we'll be getting, whether it's an equity business and alternative also. If I remember, they are planning to, they're in the process of evaluating the equity strategies which will give a better return. And UTI International, the yields have come down, I have said, because we have got some of the debt funds. But with the equity funds now performing and there's a lot of traction, we expect the overall yield of the group will be increasing.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhijit Sakhare from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good evening, everyone. Sir, we as per the annual report, we have about... 350-odd people who are still, you know, part of the union or part of the old compensation structure. So if you could just, you know, remind us again in terms of, you know, what is your sense of the retirement pipeline and what does it mean for our overall staff expense growth over the next 2 to 3 years?
Over the next 3-4 years, most of the people will be retiring. We have not done any fresh recruitment in this particular grade for last 20 years. And the expense will be on the range which we have shared with you. We are not anticipating any growth or any significant growth in the implied expenses. Rather, we will get the benefit of the of this retirement over the period of time.
Okay, any numerical guidance that you may want to share?
Yeah, I have already shared that we are having a run rate of around 106 crore.
The benefit requirement, if you want a specific number, we are not ready now. You can take offline with Sandeep.
Got it, sir. But most of these savings should come to the bottom line, right? Like, I mean,
of course.
Given that parallelly we've been investing in other parts of the business, but now that you've already been doing that for a few quarters, so incrementally over the next 2-3 years, all the savings should flow to the bottom line.
That's correct. That's correct. Because all our three companies are fully capitalized. UTI Retirement Solutions fully capitalized, International fully capitalized, and UTI in alternative also reasonably capitalized. So therefore, we don't expect the capitalization in those companies, and therefore all the benefits will go towards the P&L.
Got it. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. We will now take the last question from the line of Prayesh Jain from Motilal Oswal Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Just a question on the industry side and also on the EPFO book. So one is that, you know, out of the total ETF AUM of the industry, how much is coming from EPFO and how much of that share is for UTI? Second is on your EPFO, which EPFO AUM that sits in your PMS. How much is that and what are the kind of yields on both these pieces?
Of the total ETF business, which is part of the mutual fund business, EPFO contribution is close to around 75% to 80%. The EPFO, which is there in the PMS business, is mostly on the fixed income side, not on the equity side. Equity side comes under the mutual fund business. There the fees is very, very negligible. On the equity side, the fees for EPFO is close to around 3.5 to 4 basis points.
Okay. And the 75% to 80% what you have mentioned, that is the true for the industry also, right? ETF, share of EPFO in ETF.
Let me share with you, the 25% hitherto 25% used to come to UTI, 75% the location used to go to SBI.
Go to SBI. Got that. Okay.
Yeah,
okay. Yeah, that's it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. For any further queries, ladies and gentlemen, you may contact AdFactors PR or the UTI Asset Management Investor Relations team. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Imtiazur Rahman for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you very much for attending this call, and thank you very much for asking questions, and we have attempted our best to clarify to you. In case you need any further information and clarifications, you may contact my colleague or our partner at AdFactors, and we're more than happy to share those information with you within the, as per the guidance of the LODR. Whatever is possible for us, we will be in a position to share with you. And thank you very much once again for joining this call.
Thank you. On behalf of UTI Asset Management, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.